This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. A recent assessment of human trafficking in Wisconsin by the State Department of Justice found that sex trafficking and forced labor indeed take place in Wisconsin, affecting both children and adults. It's found most often in highly populated areas and places that are a major tourism draw. Next week, the YWCA, along with the June Chomi Social Justice Fund, are partnering to examine the issue in the Coulee region. Here today to talk about the issue of human trafficking in La Crosse are Tony DeLapp, an investigator with the La Crosse Police Department, June Chomi, a longtime social activist in La Crosse, and Sarah Migas, a child advocacy studies instructor at Winona State University. I'm wondering if we can first talk about the many forms of human trafficking. We hear a lot about forced prostitution, forced labor. Tony, can you just talk about what human trafficking exactly is?
Human trafficking be forced into a life of performing sex acts against their will, being held captive to earn money for another person, basically just doing stuff that they are not doing consensually.
And Sarah, you've worked with victims of human trafficking for many years now. I'm wondering if you can maybe talk about some of the work you've done and people you've come across along the way.
Sure. I've worked both locally and internationally on the issue of trafficking. I worked specifically in Chicago on the issue of trafficking. And also in Ecuador, we worked on trafficking and looked at children, really minors who had been trafficked within the country and then coming from outside the country. And like the detective said, a lot of it had to do with being forced into performing an act for the exchange of either money or something for survival, a need for survival.
And I understand that oftentimes the victim, maybe they're coerced into it because they think that ultimately they're going to find a better life.
Mm-hmm. Typically when people talk about trafficking, they're talking about force, fraud, and coercion, either before they get into it or once they've gotten into it. There are elements of force, fraud, and coercion.
And it's adults and children. You said you mostly worked with children, Sarah?
Absolutely. And typically with children, there doesn't have to be elements of force, fraud, and coercion for it to be considered commercial sexual exploitation of children.
And we know that human trafficking, it seems to be something that isn't necessarily just in the bigger cities. Tony, can you talk a bit about, are we seeing it mostly in Milwaukee, maybe Madison, but we're seeing it here in La Crosse too, correct?
We're seeing it a lot more in La Crosse. We're seeing a lot of girls come from Milwaukee, come down from Minneapolis, and they come up in La Crosse, set up shop in a north side or in a hotel, just say hotel, and they perform the prostitution acts right out of the hotel.
And why is it, do you think, that this is increasing in La Crosse?
I think some of it has to do with La Crosse is right between Minneapolis and Chicago, Milwaukee. You know, it's a short distance. There is a lot of, I think, need for prostitution. So that's, there's people that patronize prostitutes. So they come up here and they do make money. I think a lot of it works hand in hand with the drug trade. Drug dependency. La Crosse is growing, and we're getting a lot of people that come from Chicago, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, and move here. So I think that's why you're seeing more of it.
Sarah, did you want to add anything?
And particularly kids who run away and kids who are thrown out of their home are at particular risk. I think the stat is within 48 hours of either running away or being thrown out of a home, a minor is recruited or solicited by a pimp or trafficker. So they're at particular risk. La Crosse sits right on I-90 and I-94, so that's also, just as the detective was saying, a major route through town.
Are we mostly talking about adult prostitution too, Tony, in the Coulee region?
That's my main experience has been with adults who have been engaging in prostitution.
When you deal with prostitutes too, I'm assuming some of them are victims of human trafficking, but some may be getting into it on their own?
I would say yes. I've worked with both. I've talked to some prostitutes and, asked them why they live this life, and the money has a lot to do with it, the money they make. A lot of them are drug addicts, and that's how they, earn money to supply their habit. And then I've talked to other people who are forced into it, who have no choice, and they're looking for a way out, so they turn to the police.
What about in the more rural areas? You're seeing it here in La Crosse. Are some of the smaller towns in the area experiencing it?
I think it's there. We maybe just don't mm-hmm. know about it. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. most likely there, though.
Well, the one thing that I wanted to touch on that the detective mentioned was the element of demand. This is very much a supply and demand kind of industry, and we have to most definitely provide victim-centered services and look at this as a crime with victims, but most definitely we have to look at the demand and how we work with the Johns who are buying sex as well as the traffickers who are selling people as if they're commodities.
Because it seems like even when you look at the newspaper headlines, often you see prostitution sting, you know, three women arrested, but you don't hear much about the Johns. Is that a problem with the legal system, or does it come down to maybe the prostitutes not giving their Johns information?
I mean, I definitely think we're seeing a shift in trends as far as trying to criminalize more Johns and traffickers. The traffickers are just, as the detective may know, much more difficult to identify for lots of reasons. Women in prostitution or trafficking often feel fearful. Sometimes traffickers give their victims drugs to get them hooked. And so women feel fearful. The traffickers use threats against them. And so a lot of people feel very fearful coming forward and reporting it. And some people feel like they chose it and it's their fault and feel fearful of punishment.
Tony, you mentioned people coming in from either Minneapolis or Milwaukee, but are we seeing people coming in from other countries in this area, or is that in maybe some of the larger cities?
I think that's more of a larger city issue. I haven't seen a whole lot of it here in La Crosse.
Sarah, when you were working in Chicago with the Illinois Attorney General, is that?
We definitely had international trafficking. Chicago's considered a hub for trafficking. But I think what I'd want to emphasize, and maybe the detective as well, is that in the United States, we have a major domestic problem with trafficking. Our minors are in particularly at risk.
And mostly runaways, as you...
Well, runaways and throwaway kids sure. are definitely at risk.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about human trafficking in the La Crosse area. My guests are Sarah Migas, a child advocacy studies instructor at Winona State University, Tony DeLapp, an investigator with the La Crosse Police Department, and June Chomey, a longtime social activist in La Crosse. So we've talked a bit about sex trafficking and the issue of that in the area. What about forced labor? Is that something that we see often in La Crosse? I know when I was reading the most recent Department of Justice assessment of human trafficking, one of the things that they talked about is that it's really hard to identify forced mm-hmm. labor.
Mm-hmm. Well, it requires active investigation and inspection and...
People coming forward, maybe.
People
too.
Coming forward, and oftentimes people who are being trafficked in the labor industry are also sexually exploited, verbally and emotionally and psychologically abused as well. So there are difficulties with coming forward. But it also takes, on some level, a proactive approach to looking and investigating and asking questions.
June, did you want to add anything?
I'm not sure, but I think also with the forced labor that some of them are people who are immigrants, maybe here undocumented. They don't know the language too well. They are very fearful of reporting, and they don't really know their rights and their privileges. And going to law enforcement if you're an undocumented person isn't the safest thing on earth to do.
So do you think that often maybe they didn't realize the situation they were getting into?
Oh, I'm sure that's true.
And now that they can't get out.
And they can't get out.
One of the things I also, in my research, found was that some human trafficking advocates say that laws need to be stronger surrounding human trafficking incidents. Is that anything that the three of you have looked at, or in what ways could the laws address this better?
I believe that they're working on some legislation in Wisconsin. I don't know exactly the details of it, but I know that there is legislation, and talking to some of our legislators in the from our area here, the 32nd district, and locally the assembly person, that there is an interest in making those laws stronger to really identify and prosecute and make it more difficult altogether for the pimps and for those who are involved in forced labor.
I read through the Department of Justice that it's easier to prosecute child sex trafficking because with adults, you have to prove that there was force, fraud, or coercion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And why is that difficult?
One major problem that I've seen is you get a victim of prostitution and he or she at the last minute refuses to talk or disappears or turns their phone off or you can't get a hold of them. They make these promises. They'll come in and talk to you. They want to change their life and it comes down to the day you're supposed to meet with them and they don't show up and they just get scared and don't want to have to sit down and talk to the police.
Are they scared that maybe their pimp could retaliate against them? Is that generally what it comes down to?
Yes.
Very true. When I was living in Ecuador, we had the first case go to court, and when we put the woman on the stand, she refused to testify. Her trafficker was sitting in the courtroom, but she was very, very fearful of her trafficker, and that's very common because they make threats that they'll not only harm the individual if they make some kind of report, but they'll harm the individual's family or their children. And because people feel on some level responsible for the situation they're in, they fear that that may happen and it'll be their responsibility. They also fear that the trafficker will follow through with that act. Sometimes they fear, too, that they will be identified and they're here illegally. Also, again, they don't speak the language, as June was saying. And so all of those elements collectively don't really create a situation that is easy for the person who's been trafficked. But they fear they've been beaten often. They've been raped, sometimes tortured. And so absolutely they fear that their trafficker will harm them if they make a report or testify.
Do you think that there are enough protections in place for victims of trafficking?
I know that there is Breaking Free in the Minneapolis area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they have a branch in the Wisconsin, but they're only 3 hours away in Minneapolis, and you could reach out and talk to them.
If there's ever a woman who comes forward, or a man, I guess maybe more often you see women here in La Crosse, but if someone comes forward and says that they need help, is that, Tony, where you'd maybe send them to Breaking Free, or are there other places here?
I would get them the help they'd need. I mean, I wouldn't send them away, but I would definitely get them in touch with someone to get them the help and the services they'd need to make the change.
Sarah, do you know anything about more resources for victims of trafficking?
I imagine if someone were to be identified in La Crosse that they would maybe go to or be referred to a counseling office or a domestic violence shelter, maybe a place that could offer shelter for an evening. But as far as I know, there aren't any specific agencies in town that are geared to support victims of trafficking.
June?
There is an organization in Madison called Respect. And I don't know if they have a house or shelter or that where people, can be housed, but where they offer all sorts of services. And there will be speakers at the trafficking conference from that organization. And so we hope to learn more from them about that. But I do know that I have worked with the New Horizons, which is the shelter for battered and abused women, survivors of domestic abuse and their children, and they have had a couple of people that have come to them who were forced labor. They came from more central Europe, and they were brought over here thinking things were going to be wonderful, as their man or their friend or their husband said, but they took their papers, their visas, they didn't know the language well, and things were very difficult. And so there has been a little bit of that, but not a lot that I know of.
Tony, when the police department handles a case of possible human trafficking, do you have to be sensitive in a totally different way than you would handle any other case?
It's kind of a tricky subject. People don't want to tell you what they're being forced to do. They have a hard time talking to them. Like a female would have a hard time talking to me being a male about the things that they've had to do. So yes, it is a difficult subject to talk about.
How many officers in La Crosse or investigators work on cases like this?
We have three other investigators in the Sensitive Crimes Unit that also have the training and experience to work with victims of human trafficking.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. My guests today are Tony DeLapp, an investigator with the La Crosse Police Department, June Chomey, a longtime social activist in La Crosse, and Sarah Migas, a child advocacy studies instructor at Winona State University. June, this next week, the Human Trafficking in the Coulee Region Conference, and this is part of the June Chomey Social Justice Conference, and this is the first year that you'll be putting something on. Is that correct?
Yes, this is the first conference, yes.
And can you talk a little bit about the Social Justice Fund and how that got started?
It was initiated by a good friend of mine, Susan Schmidt, who gave a very large donation to the La Crosse Community Foundation. And she's very interested in social justice and peace issues. And we became friends and found we were on the same page, as it were. And she set up this fund and named it after me. And so there's monies in this fund that would enable the community to have a conference every year for some years to come on some social justice or peace issue. And so this is the first conference that will be held with funds from that social justice fund.
And why was it that you decided that human trafficking should be the focus of this first conference?
Well, when Susan and Sheila Garrity came and told me about this fund, Sheila said, well, June, do you have any idea for a topic for the first conference? And I said, well, yes, indeed, I happen to have a topic. About a year ago, our Interfaith Justice and Peace Network here in town sponsored a half-day workshop on human trafficking. It wasn't really well attended. There were maybe 40 people there, and this was quite an eye-opener for many people. I had heard about this, I'd read about it, and I was, aware of it to some extent, but I learned a lot that half day, and as a result of that, our Interfaith Justice and Peace group hoped that we could someday follow up, probably this year, with a longer conference where we could learn more and find out how we could be proactive in helping this particular issue of human trafficking. And so I lobbied the committee to have human trafficking as the first topic, and they agreed, and so that's how it is.
And can you talk about some of the topics that will be discussed at the conference?
First of all, they'll talk about what it is and the resources that are available for assisting persons who have been involved in human trafficking. There will be different organizations that will contribute their perspective and the ways that they are able to help. And that will be the keynoter is a woman who started Breaking Free he mentioned, and she herself is also a survivor of human trafficking. And there will be people from the community, from the social service department, and from legal services and other organizations that have had some work with human trafficking. I expect we're going to learn a lot and find out resources that are available not only from Breaking Free in St. Paul, but also here in our state. The FSPA sisters in Rochester have been working on human trafficking for several years now and have had very good conferences. And three of us from La Crosse went to their spring conference, and we were really fired up after that, and we met some of the people that were resource people that will be on the program here in La Crosse, and this was very helpful in helping us in our planning for the conference here.
So what are you hoping comes about from this conference?
I think we're looking at various ways that the community can be proactive. It's not enough to sit around and wring your hands and say, ain't it awful? You know, we hope that we will learn some ways that we can be active and in the community. We, first of all, it's raising awareness and it's educating people about how to keep their children safe and how to be aware of some of the dangers that young girls particularly, but boys also, might face in being enticed to run away or to go away and to be involved in this. And also looking at maybe some proactive action about legislation, and well, there are just so many things. I guess I can't really think of all of them, but those are a few.
Sarah, when you think about something like this, and with all your experience in working with human trafficking, I mean, what can the average person living in La Crosse do to help break the cycle, to help deal with human trafficking?
I think this is a great start. I'm excited to see that an awareness building conference is coming to the area. I think it's so important for first responders, school teachers, nurses, police officers, to be sensitive and to have their eyes open to situations that may seem different or normal, but to be able to look at it through a new lens, a lens of maybe understanding this issue in a different way. I think it's so important that we start addressing the demand side of sex trafficking, labor trafficking, and thinking about that as a community. What we're going to do about that, if we're going to tolerate it, what we're going to do to deter people from buying other people. I think that's a great first step.
And Tony, from a law enforcement standpoint, is there anything that people in the community can do?
I think the conference is going to make them more aware and open their eyes to people that they realize this is happening right here in La Crosse.
And is it something that you think is growing?
Yes,
it is.
It's becoming an increasing problem.
Sarah, I mean, is this mirrored everywhere?
I think it's really on our radar now. I think, again, we're becoming more sensitive to it. Our eyes are open to it in a new way.
There's been some very good programs on television. PBS has done a fantastic job. They had a series this spring called Half the Sky, and the first segment of the program was on human trafficking. And the second segment was on violence against women around the world. And then there's been books written, like the book Half the Sky is the TV programs were based on that book. And there was also another follow-up program a month or 6 weeks later that talked about trafficking of women on the West Coast, particularly in San Francisco. And this focused on a lot of women from Asia who were brought over and trafficked for sexual purposes and how life was for them. And it was really quite amazing. And I think there's been a bit more in the newspapers and so on also. So it's being talked about. And one of the things they say, like in the international sex trafficking in Asia, they say 25% of the clients who participate in sex orgies overseas are from America. So we have a big job, you know, looking at, as Sarah said, those people who are patronizing it and working with them. One of the persons who will be at the conference is a man who works with an organization called Men Against Trafficking of Others. And I heard him speak in Rochester very briefly, and I was very hopeful that we could get him to come here, and he will be here. And he said that, you know, we men have to stand up and speak out against it too. It's sort of, It's sort of like in domestic violence. It took a long time for the men to come on board and really be supportive and speak out, I think. And it was the women who were really more concerned about the domestic violence program and the need for education and for help and of survivors and so on, and changing the attitude towards domestic violence. And so it is with trafficking, too. We have to involve both the men and the women in combating this.
Is there anything else that the three of you would like to talk about today?
Well, I was just going to add to what June was saying. You know, what June was talking about is called sex tourism, and it's when people travel abroad to buy sex. And there are sophisticated industries that advertise packages that people can buy to travel abroad and buy sex, typically from minors.
Yeah.
And... You know, I think when we're looking at trafficking, you asked, is it growing? Well, I think we also have to think about the role of the internet, where people are advertising, and what we can do to be aware of that.
June Chomey's Social Justice Conference and the YWCA will host Human Trafficking in the Coulee Region on November 7th at UW-La Crosse's Cleary Center. Registration is required. The conference's keynote speaker, Vendita Carter, will take the stage at 7. The event is free and open to the public. Thanks to Tony DeLapp, an investigator with the La Crosse Police Department, June Chomey, a longtime social activist in La Crosse, and Sarah Migas, a child advocacy studies instructor at Winona State University. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, we'll talk about the scope of human trafficking around the world with Mike Hogan of the International Justice Mission, an organization that works to end slavery. Archives of this and other recent editions of Newsmakers, photos, and a link to more information on the Human Trafficking Conference can be found on our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. Newsmakers is also on Facebook, like us at WPR Newsmakers.